Okay, just sitting down and starting, just hitting record, not thinking, no thinking, just go, go, go. Now is not the time for thought, now is the time for action. Hello, patrons at patreon.com/bensaint. It's time for a late Q&A podcast. Why is it late? I meant it to be a little late, not 11 days. It was the end of the month, and I had like a handful of a Vapors 2 doodles left to do, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna record the podcast until I can say I'm done. And then it took me a little while, and then I got a couple late entries, and then I decided, well, I should finish up the RFCK ones too, but I did that too. So I did all a bunch of that stuff, but I'm done. Except one last late one that I still have to do as of today, but that's fine. I'm basically done. I'm basically done with it. And the reason why I didn't want to record the podcast first was because my plan was that I took pictures of all the doodles, the art that I did for people's requests on the inside of the books, and I was going to make a Patreon post showing them all. And I wanted to do that before I recorded the podcast, and I still am going to do that, but I guess I don't know why I wanted to do that before, like, it doesn't matter. So I'll just do that later. Maybe, like, tomorrow. I'll post that. They're all very high effort. They're all very effort posty. I put a lot of time into a lot of them, which is why it took me a fucking year! It's not the only reason. But that's why it's late. Kind of dumb, but whatever. I'm not missing it. Only a week and a half late into the month. It's fine. Sorry about that, but I hope you'll hope you don't mind too much. So, let's see. Before I get into the questions, anything else to say? Well, I'm done with all that Kickstarter shit. It's done, and I'm basically free, which is shocking. I'll just have to make like another trip to the post office, and then it's done. It's done. It's done. Which means that the next thing I need to do. I want the Slime and Punishment True finale, which I guess I need to dive headlong into. I could do the finish editing the Sonichu lecture, which should not even take very long, but I really want to have the Slime and Punishment finale done when that comes out. So I'm going to try to do that first, and I hope it won't take me too long. Maybe, want to say maybe done by the end of the month, but I've said that before. So I just am not going to even, I don't know, who knows. Gonna try and work really hard on it, throw myself into it with everything I got. That's the plan. Other than that, I started playing a little Dwarf Fortress again. I've started a succession game with my roommates where we each take it for one in-game year. Yesterday I played through my year. I made a little Twitter post about a very funny Forgotten Beast attack that we had to go through. I think it was the first Forgotten Beast to attack the fortress, which is very scary because our military is poorly equipped and we have no real defenses at all. We have a military, but it's not very good. We don't have any good materials to make weapons and armor out of. We were just kind of have scraps. But it turned out not to matter because one random hunter who just happened to be out hunting, the beast, which looked like a giant tick, and it had a freezing, like, dust breath, it went around, it attacked some elk birds and kangaroos who I guess live in the caverns down there, and then it saw this hunter and it went for him, and the hunter jumped on the giant tick, bit it on its leg, latched on with his teeth, started bludgeoning it with his crossbow, then started shooting his crossbow wildly, killing some elk birds and kangaroos, didn't connect with the tick at all, but the tick then attempted to breathe, he breathed his ice breath directly on the dwarf, which didn't hurt him at all, but it might have some delayed effect, so he might die later, we'll see, but he breathed his ice breath. And then I guess he just sort of charged ahead in his icy cloud and just rammed himself into the cave wall so hard that it split his head open, and he died. Very funny. That was the highlight of my year for sure. So passing that off, and I'll maybe by next week I'll have played a little more of that. And that's pretty much it for where I'm at in my life right now. So let's just go to questions. I got them. Where are they? Shit. Shit, where'd they go? Post? No, get a good patron Q&A. What was the last one? It was Blame Game, right? Yes. Okay, here we go. Come on. All right. Okay, first question is from Sean Garrett. What, if anything, do you remember about Yu-Gi-Oh? Did you like or dislike the show and/or card game? Which series slash seasons did you remember watching, if applicable? Also, how do you feel about... Okay, I'll answer that one first. Yu-Gi-Oh! I watched it on, the WB or whatever. I think that was the network it was on. Yeah, I watched the first season of it. Oh, I don't think I saw the whole thing. I wasn't like a devoted fan or anything, but I liked it. I watched it. I thought it was cool. I think I kind of stopped watching it by the time that like the card game started taking off in America, so I never got into playing the card game at all. I don't really even know the rules or anything. I'm not sure I even finished the first season. And I'm not sure why. I don't and like I never watched any of the later I would see some of the later ones, like the one that's like, oh, in the future after Yugi has become king of games and like founded a fucking a school for gifted game players or whatever. Yeah, I didn't keep track of it after that. So yeah, just the first season and maybe not even all of it. And I remember that like the American release was like edited weird, like the or I know that there's the manga. I think what the deal is, and I could be wrong, but what I thought was the case was that like the manga starts out being about all kinds of games, like Yugi plays all kinds of different games, and then Duel Masters gets introduced at some point, and then I think just because it was popular, it was like a popular twist or whatever, the manga basically becomes about Duel Masters, and then that becomes like the central thing, but it wasn't originally. And then I think in the anime, they, it's still like they kind of cut that first part out, like it's a Duel Masters centric, but they do include some like pre-Duel Masters stuff, sort of as like intro episodes or something. But then I think in the American one, they cut out all that pre stuff, and it just kind of starts like at a different point with like a bunch of like the lead in just cut. And I think I remember seeing that and being like, oh, there's like all this other shit in the original version that I think the American one just starts with Yugi getting on the fucking boat to like, there's his grandfather gets kidnapped, and then he's going on the boat to go to fucking Kaiba Island to participate in the tournament arc, and it's just right into it. I'm pretty sure there was more in the Japanese, but I don't know. How do you feel about fan lectures? Have you actually watched any, or have any caught your eye? I think there's probably more that I'm not aware of. I know of two. I know of the one by Tectonic Improv, which is good. It's about Link, not it's the Linkara show, Atop the Fourth Wall. It's about Atop the Fourth Wall lore, which is a good choice for a topic for one of those, and it's a good lecture, and it's also funny. It's a bit unintentionally funny because there's like one of the friend, you can tell like he's conscripted his friends to sit through his lecture, which is what you're supposed to do. That's what the PCP is. But at least one of them is kind of not into it, and he sort of gets annoyed, and they sort of like argue a little bit in the middle of it, which is pretty funny. But it's a good lecture. Yeah, Atop the Fourth Wall. There's a lot of lore there. The other one I'm aware of is by Ash Vampire, and it's about Bionicle. I have not watched it. I will not watch it because Ash Vampire is a piece of shit, and I hate her. And I will never, ever, ever publicly mention that one or give it any attention if I can avoid it. Fuck Ash Vampire, Lmao. Next one is by Ferris Yak. Can you do a Shia LaBeouf style video where you live stream yourself watching all of something? Maybe TBAP or all the PCP lectures back to back. I think it would be funny to me. Probably not for you. Probably be shit for you. I'm not sure what the Shia LaBeouf reference is. Like, did Shia LaBeouf do something like that? I'm not aware. I sort of had a plan at one point to when the Sonichu lecture came out, part two, I was gonna announce that I was going to do a live stream wherein I would read all of Sonichu. I still would do that. I wouldn't have a problem doing it. I just don't know when I would do it. And also I would kind of want to do it for charity. Maybe I was thinking originally some kind of trans charity thing, but maybe now like a COVID thing would be better or something. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it in a while. I would do something like that. Watching all of God, imagine watching all of TBAP. TBAP's so uncomfortable. TBAP is from an era where I was thinking I tried to watch a little bit of I tried to watch a little bit of Phantom Review's Hearthswarming Eve, and I gotta say, it's not, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that it's outright transphobic, but like the sort of like tone is with which like the whole like Phantom Horn thinks he's a unicorn thing is handled is just a little bit uncomfortable, and I don't like it. I don't, which makes me sad because I was really proud of that video, and I think it's a good video except for that. That part makes me uncomfortable now. It's a bummer. But I guess I would do something like that is the answer. Another question from Ferris Yak says, after listening to a PCP that would have been recorded quite a few weeks ago now, you said something along the lines of you feel like you've never made anything good, and I'm sure it was a hyperbole, hyperbola, but still, don't be so hard on yourself. Literally, the day before the episode came out, I was on a long ass drive with my wife, and she was like, "What you thinking about?" And I was like, "This really cool comic. There's only one chapter, so I don't know where the frick it's going. But chapter one, it appears they have a hard magic system where you can do anything that you can do the calculation to make happen, and that's the most interesting shit I've read in forever. So what I'm saying, really, is Ghost in the Shell when? Shit, Force of Habit. I mean, Champion Chapter Two when? I was thinking about this, as I was doing the doodles, the last few drawings in the Vapors books. One backer asked got two signed copies and asked for I guess since I'm going to show the doodles, I don't care about like revealing this information. They basically just asked me to do anything that like would reveal lore. They were just like, draw me a lore shit about whatever, some like secret canon stuff. And I was like, okay. So I decided to do some champion stuff, and what I drew was oh fuck, I oh no. I drew let me pull it up. I should go, I'm gonna be quiet, and I'm gonna go back and cut this silence out after the podcast. Don't forget. Yes, okay, I'm back. So I decided to draw the two suits from the first chapter of Champion. And I came up with names for them. Their names are Karos and Cremata, and I drew them using some fucking magic that I think they would use. And Karos has some undead minions, and Cremata has a fire ice thing going on for reasons. I'm not going to explain. There's a reason for that, but I'm not going to go any deeper into it. In the future, maybe. And I was drawing that, and I was thinking, actually, the setting is cool. The setting is cool, and the lore that I had in mind was kind of neat, and I think I could do a lot with this setting and these characters. And I was excited, and I'm still excited. And before I ever go back to Champion, I want to finish the Slime and Punishment finale, and then I kind of want to finish Beastcapades. That's what I have been telling myself I'm going to do for a long, long time. And after that, though, I don't know. I guess I'll get back into it. And I guess in the meantime, I should try and think about. I had some ideas for what like Champion Chapter 2 would entail. I think I will probably do something a little different. I didn't have anything like. I never had like, okay, like a real solid outline for like, here's how the champion's gonna go. I had the first chapter, and I know how it ends. And then everything was in the middle was kind of up in the air. So I wouldn't be like changing it, but I would have to think hard about like, okay, what actually do I want to depict in chapter two, and where do I want it to go to for the eventual chapter three, and like what's the progression? Anyway, I'm glad you like the champion. I think it's cool. I think it's good. I'd like to finish it. It's weird to even talk about finishing it because I don't like I have the ending in mind, but the point of it when I think about working on it is not the ending. It's not getting to the ending anymore. It's I think it would be I think I could tell some good stories in it. That's what I think about Champion. Yes. Okay. Thanks for the compliment though. Thanks for telling your wife my comic's cool. Drip says, cool episode. Why shouldn't I off myself? Thanks, Drip. Now I see why, Drip, I see why you've commented on my Twitter a couple times asking where's the podcast, because you really wanted to know why not to off yourself. My answer would be why off yourself? You'll be dead forever. Why rush it? You know? You've got a limited time to be alive, so why not? Why not just cool? Why not just do that while you can, you know? For variety's sake, if nothing else. On a happier note, Drip continues, could you go into detail about how you keep your expenses low? I'd also like to be a trash-eating artist in the future without a real job, without forcing you to go into personal doxing detail, of course. Sure. I guess I have a few tips and tricks. Some of them I've been using for longer. Some of them are newer. I mean, the big thing for me is that I split a house. That's the real money saver. Like, if there's no house or even apartment that I could live in by myself that would cost me as little as I spend on rent now. So that's the main one. Two is that I don't like anything, and therefore I don't buy anything unnecessary. Like I don't the only things I spend money on are like food, you know, necessities, and I guess I've been spending money on like gummy making ingredients and stuff. Since I might sell those at some point, I don't feel too bad. I can write that off as business expense, maybe. I think I could swing that. my taxes. That's how I justify that to myself. Yeah, I don't really have any like expensive habits. Vaping and or smoking was kind of expensive. For some reason I've just quit smoking and vaping during quarantine. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because I didn't want to leave the house so much and it wasn't worth going to the corner store and risking infection to get cigarettes. So I've quit that, and that has saved me money, which is good. anything else? I mean, some newer tips that I've started using is I finally got a credit card, which gives me 2% cash back on everything. I think I talked about this on a podcast or something, but I mean, 2%'s not that much, but like it's 2% back on money I was going to be spending anyway, so it's just free money. You know, pretty good. Things that save me money, things that save me money. Well, I don't know, I just think I try to think long term. I try to think about like investing a lot now that will save me more in the future. Like for instance, I spent $90 to get the Instacart membership, which, you know, $90 just for a membership, but I knew I was going to be using Instacart like pr at least like 20 or 30 times in the year. And if I save like $5 in usage fees every time I use it in a year, you know, that's more than $90. So that's a net gain. And like the thing to do that, to operate in a mode where it's like, okay, I'll spend more in the short term to save money in the long term, you kind of have to have a little bit of money saved up. Like I had to have that $90 there to be able to invest it now in order to save the, you know, maybe $100 or something it's going to save me over the course of the year. So like, you do have to save up a little bit now. And then like the more money you have, the more you can save yourself by doing things like that. So like, I guess I would say, you know, if you're dead broke, you just gotta fucking be frugal until you have a little bit. And then as soon as you have a little money, you can start thinking of ways to like, okay, how can I spend money now that will save me in the future? Things like that. I try to be on the lookout for that stuff all the freaking time. I find it kind of fun. It's sort of fun in a satisfying sort of puzzle solvey way when I can like work out something like, okay, yeah, I see that this looks like an expense now, but actually it saves me money in the future. Like, I don't know. Like buying, like when I bought books for the first Vapors 1 Kickstarter, like I've just finished sending out, I have like one more book to send out. So I'm pretty much done with that. And I managed, it worked out really well because I had a lot of books left over from the Vapors 1 Kickstarter. And then Vapors 2 Kickstarter, a lot of people got Vapors 1 books with their order. And I ended up, it was almost the perfect amount. I think I have like 9 copies left of the original Vapors 1. Like it's like, perfect. And that was because the first time I was doing it, like, I could have waited to see how many orders were made and then only bought that amount. I don't know if it would have been like 200 or something, but I was like, okay, I could buy 200 copies and then I won't spend any extra. But I was like, I know that I'm going to run a second Kickstarter eventually. And if I buy 500 copies, then there's a price drop and that lowers the amount per copy, that raises my profit margin per copy. So that will eventually pay me. I will eventually make more money if I buy 500 now than if I, you know, buy 200 this time and then another, how it wasn't 200, whatever, whatever the numbers were. If I buy so many now and so many later, those will all be at a higher price point, which is worse. So I'll buy all the 500 now. But, you know, of course, to do that, I had to have the, like, $1,000 or whatever on hand that it cost me to buy the 500 copies right then. So, you know, like I said, you have to have some money, and then when you have it, you can think of ways to invest it now that save you in the long term. But that's like a puzzle, you know, figuring stuff like that out. Okay, I think I'm just repeating myself now. Those are my tips. I'm, like, frantic. I'm, like, out of breath. Sometimes when I record these, I just, like, get in a mode where I just start talking really fast. I can't let there be any silence, and it gets me... I forget to breathe a little bit. It's like nerve-wracking. When I'm on the PCP, I can be quiet, and someone else will pick up the slack. When it's just me, I can't do that. I gotta, like... Okay. Next, another one from Ferris Yak is back, baby. Like my new format, I'm just going to keep commenting every time I think of something. Holy shit, I should do a Mia Mafava, but on one of these videos. Fuck, that'd be obnoxious. Wait, on one of what videos? I should do a Mia Mafava, but on one of these videos. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Anyway, how would you feel if someone got a tattoo that paid homage to your work? Do you know of anyone that's done it? I do not know of anyone that's gotten a Ben Saint related tattoo. I would never encourage anyone to do it, because if they did it and I had like helped encourage them to, I would feel so bad. So I do not encourage it. But if someone did, you know, that's their business, and I would be pretty flattered, I guess. I don't know what else to say about it. Sometimes I think about getting tattoos, like sometimes I think about it, and I think that like Victor, Digi's brother, has some tattoos, and he just has some like some symbols that kind of go down his arm. I think they're little like Aztec runes or something, or glyphs, or I don't know what you call them. And they might not even be Aztec, but you know what, they look like that. And I think they represent like the members of his family. I think it's something like that. And sometimes I think about what if I got something like that, but it's like for the things that I've like made, or the things that I've like put, you know, chunks of my life into. Like, what if I got like a little Vapors one, and then a little Endless War one, and maybe a little Champion one, or a little Beastcapades one, or a little Phantom Horn one, or something, and just like a little like row of icons like that, or something. I don't know. But that's not what you asked. You didn't ask about me getting tattoos. You asked about what if someone else got a tattoo of me, and I would say, don't do it, but if you do, I would think it was cool. That's my answer. Number four says, I know the Ben being well laid meme is long dead. Sad but true. Sad but true. But what is your best dating advice? Oh my God. I've started asking random girls out and could use some tips to boost my game. Well, when you say you've started asking random girls out, that raises a flag for me, because if you're asking them completely randomly, like I'm imagining, like, I don't know exactly what you mean, but I'm imagining you just going up to someone you've never spoken to before and being like, "Hey, I know we don't know each other, but like, would you like go out with me?" And like, that's not gonna work. If that's what you mean, then it's not gonna work. Maybe you don't mean that. Maybe you do mean like people you know, but you're sort of asking them out at random. What's my advice? My dating advice? It's such a big question. Okay, you're asking people out, you're looking for a date. Well, I guess I would say there's nothing wrong with asking someone out. So I mean, good on you for being proactive about it. If someone says no, which I guess they have, don't sweat it, which it doesn't seem like you're sweating it, which is fine. If there's girls you know and you're asking them and none of them want to go on a date with you, then okay, they probably see you as a friend or whatever, which like is fine. But yeah, they're not into you like that, which is kind of to be expected, right? That's normal. So if you ask everyone and no one's interested, then I guess you would look outside your immediate circle and be like, okay, well, who can I be asking? And then it's like, all right, well, you don't ask them right away. You have to, I would say, start not by asking random people out. Don't just ask them out. You have to sort of lay a groundwork, right? I would say, wherever you're meeting people, say hi to them, and maybe try to go for this, right? Instead of focusing on getting a date, focus on expanding your circle, right? Focus on making a connection, not even a romantic connection, just like have a conversation with someone such that like they know who you are and they will recognize you in the future. And then once you have laid a little groundwork with something, that you have even a little bit of rapport with someone, then it's time to be like, hey, maybe would you want to go on a date? Yeah, I guess focus primarily on expanding your circle and building rapport, not necessarily sexual rapport with a number of people. And then that's how you do it. 'Cause you have to expand your pool, and then you ask within the pool. You can't ask outside your pool, 'cause if you're asking someone that you have no rapport with, that doesn't know you, it's not gonna work. It just doesn't. Almost never, right? That's my advice. I hope it was good. Bevan says, two questions. One is, have you thought of releasing slash released, and I missed it, the script for the Vaporettes? Both because I'm rawly curious. I think you probably mean really. I'm rawly curious and want to see how the artist interpreted it. Secondly, I may be misunderstanding the comic, and if I am, don't kill me. How do you perceive Vincent having gay parents as affecting his personality? Okay. Also, just want to comment that these podcasts are always rad. I like the PCPs. Let me. God, I hope I haven't stopped recording. Okay, we're still recording. We're still good. I like the PCPs. I really super like my copy of The Vapors 2, and I'm excited for my pins. I hope you've gotten them by now. I think you did. I don't remember. I hope you had a decent Thanksgiving. Solidarity forever. No, my Thanksgiving sucked, but what are you gonna do? Actually, after Thanksgiving, we had a Friendsgiving, which was kind of good. It was kind of good, actually. So yeah, it was fine. I guess you know what? You know what? No complaints. Drip says, I second these questions. Very interested in gay Vincent. Drip, you fucking fool. Vincent's not gay. Didn't you read the fucking comic? He's got two gay dads. He's not gay, I think. He says he's not gay. He's probably right. You know, he would know. Who am I to question him, right? Da, 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 okay. As for the scripts, I mean, I guess I could release the scripts. Maybe I will. If you're interested, I wouldn't mind showing. There's not much there. They're mostly pretty short, and most of the Vaporette artists interpreted them pretty directly. I mean, some of them added little flourishes. Yeah, maybe I'll just release them. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, none of them went like off script particularly, but you know, my scripts pretty much they had the lines. They had a little bit of stage direction, like, you know, she looks here, he does this, he is positioned here, he does some action while he's saying this. This is his expression, you know. I had a little bit of that. Yeah, okay. Good question. How do you perceive Vincent having gay parents as affecting his personality? Okay. Well, Vincent is Vincent is All right, backstory for this. You might have heard me talk about this before, but long, long ago, like in pre-TBAP era, me and Nate came up with a sort of joke idea. I don't remember which of us had the idea for. We sort of were just riffing, we're joking around one day, and we came up with it. The idea was for a comic called My Two Gay Dads and Me, and it was about a kid with two gay dads, and the joke would be that the kid feels persecuted for having two gay dads. He thinks the world is against him because of his non-traditional family, but actually, no. Everybody likes his two gay dads. And he just sucks and everyone hates him, but it's because he's an asshole. But he blames it on him having two gay dads and being persecuted. So I just thought Vincent is kind of like that. Vincent thinks, well, it's no, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not, I want to say Vincent. Vincent is a little bit resentful. He's a little resentful that he got mocked, that he got made fun of by kids for his non-traditional family. He has internalized it in the wrong way because he is a fool. He feel he has sort of he sort of has this affected sort of like traditional masculinity thing about him. You know, he wears a fucking fedora, lamau. And it's a little bit of an overreaction to an over or an overcompensation or like a correction in the other direction. You know what I'm trying to say? He's a little bit like, people made fun of me because of them. I'm not like them. That's his the way that he copes with it is like, but I'm not like that. You know, I shouldn't be made fun of. Right. Because yeah. I hope that explains it. That's what he thinks. It's not that he hates his parents or anything. He does love his dads, but you know, in the way that you're obligated to. But he's the age where you rebel against your parents, and he feels that he's got extra justification because yes, he was made fun of in some cases because of them, and that's it. I think that about covers it. Janessa says, "Hi, Ben. I remember you had some interesting stuff to say about theology in the religion episode on the PCP podcast. Would you mind talking about theological interpretations? What? Because I find them fascinating when they're not twisted to oppress minorities. Would I mind talking about theological interpretation?" That's a big... How would I do that? I'm sorry, you're going to have to be a little more specific. The only thing I have to say to that is, you know who's really good on theology? And you probably know this guy already, so apologies. But Renegade Cut has some videos in which he talks about theology, especially in terms of, like, the political effects of, like, evangelicalism, particularly in America. He's a lapsed Catholic, so he has, like, he knows a lot about, like, theology and, like, religious, like, scriptural interpretation and stuff. He really knows his stuff. I've learned a lot from him that I didn't know before. He's got some videos on, he's got one about, like, Trump and the evangelical vote, which is really good. He's got one about those fucking movies, like, the Left Behind movies, I think. I think that's the big one that I'm thinking of. There's one that's like, let me check and make sure. Gonna be quiet? Ben, remember, go back, cut the silence out. Yeah, the one about Left Behind. It's like a 2-hour long video and it's super good. And I highly recommend it. He knows more about it than I do. So yeah, that's my recommendation on that. You had another question here. Also, I found out... I guess one thing I'll mention specific that I didn't really know about was apparently there is an interpretation of scripture called universal salvation, which apparently Renegade Cut seems to believe is the valid interpretation, which is just that, like, no, Christ died. It's like everyone's saved. Like he literally saved everyone. It's not like if you don't believe, you won't go to heaven. Everyone's going to heaven. Which I think I want to start pushing whenever I get the chance. I think it'd be really funny, like, if I were arguing with some asshole who happened to be, like, religious, and he was like, fucking being trans will send you to hell or whatever, it's not God's will. Instead of the usual, like, oh, well, God, the Bible also says that the woman who's on her period will send you to hell. Oh, are we supposed to believe that? Oh, the Bible. No, you can't. You'll get stoned if you eat meat on a Tuesday. Like, no, skip all that. That stuff's boring. Everyone's heard that before. Just go to, like, no, man. Jesus saved everyone, including sinners, even non-Christians. Like, God is great. What, you don't think he could do that? Universal salvation. Like, I feel like that's probably something most people are not prepared to argue against. Like, obviously they would find it heretical because they don't believe it. Because contemporary Christianity is all about exclusion. I think it would be interesting to, like, force someone to try and argue that. And especially, like, if you know what you're talking about and you have, like, a solid case for universal salvation, I feel like someone like that is not going to be able, like, they'll get angry because they definitely will refuse to believe it, but they won't have a case. And I want to force the issue. I don't know. I hope I get the opportunity to do that at some point. But I should probably look a little more into it and get more of an argument prepared, you know, just in case. Janessa says, "I found out the vapors arrived at my townhouse. However, I'm away for Christmas vacation." Ugh, bad timing. So when I get back, you made these posts only 15 hours ago. 10 days after the podcast was supposed to be out, so it'd be good fucking timing, I guess. So when I get back, I'll make sure to tweet it. Thank you for your hard work during 2020. Thank you. I did do some pretty hard work on many things. A lot of I didn't manage to get a lot of things done that I wanted to, but I did put the work in on some things, and it's just, thank you. I'm glad you like it. This is the final question. Jeanesque asks, with the recent release of Cyberpunk 2077, I remember there was an episode about hype. Have you developed your thoughts on hype culture since then? And are people going to be burnt out considering how likely people are going to be disappointed the latest video game didn't revolutionize their lives? I don't remember that episode very well, but I feel like I probably have not changed my opinion about hype, which is just that it is simply bad. And getting hype for anything is a recipe for disappointment. And I hate Cyberpunk 2077. I've been hearing about it all year, and everything I hear about it is like, everything that seems to be good about it seems so lame. Like, it just looks like people seem to be hyped for it for all the exact same reasons you'd be hyped for any other fucking video game. I don't get what's supposed to be special about it at all. I know that The Witcher 3, it's the studio that made The Witcher 3, and a lot of people like The Witcher 3, and I didn't play any of The Witcher games, so maybe I just don't get it. But from an outsider's perspective, it looks like any other fucking video game, and I don't get it, and I think it's so stupid that there's all this buzz around it. And everything bad that I hear about it is like, oh, you know, they're fucking evil. Like, the people that made it are fucking evil. So that just makes me mad. Like, fuck this game, and fuck the people who made it, and fuck the whole industry, and fuck hype. It's so embarrassing. And I think that's basically all I have to say about that, Lamau. That sounds like a good note to go out on, I think. How long have I been going? 42 minutes. I feel like I said so much in only the space 42 minutes. Wait a second. Okay, yeah, I guess that's gonna do it. I just spoke at a fucking rave. I feel like I've just been frantically going and going. So I hope that I managed to pack a lot of content, a lot of value into these 42 minutes. Because I don't want to waste your time. I want to get in, get out. I want you to get what you paid for, right? And that's me, raw and unfiltered, uncircumcised, if you will. Okay, all right. Fuck all y'all. Thanks for patroning, and look forward to probably like starting tomorrow. I'm gonna try and dive headlong into the Slime and Punishment finale stuff. So I guess, I don't know, pray for me. Yeah. All right. See you all later. Thanks for everything, and good night.